Welcome to Social Distance Central. Wait, that's what this is now? You're on Sportsnet 650. Here's Bit Nizar and Brendan Batchelor.
Oh, boy. Welcome to Social Distance Central, the show with the COVID name that isn't about COVID during the COVID era. I'm Bick Nizar. With me is the voice of the Canucks and Sportsnet 50, Brendan Batchelor. Batch, have you managed to settle down over this hectic morning?
Yeah, it has been a hectic morning. I certainly wasn't expecting that our show was going to develop the way that it will over the next hour or so when I woke up this morning, but... That's the beauty of the sports world, right? Things can be flipped on their head at a moment's notice. And so now we plan to take your calls, take your texts, take your tweets for the entirety of this hour here on Social Distance Central today to get your thoughts on the news of the day. Judd Brackett out as the director of amateur scouting of the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, we were slated to talk to John LeClaire. I want to thank him for agreeing to push back to come on another day, because obviously we wanted to open the floor to you. So you've got plenty of ways to get involved. 650-650, 604-280-0650 as well. You can tweet us at BatchHockey, at Bick650, and we'll try to get to as much of your reaction as possible. We did want to also present to you as much as we could from Jim Benning meeting with media about just under an hour ago. And also, he'll join the program later today at 5 o'clock. But obviously a lot to dig into, Batch. And this has been evolving and probably more accurately devolving for months now. And, you know, when we're at a stage, I think we all kind of knew where this was going to trend, and we knew kind of what the issues were. More so from great reporting that we've seen from a bunch of people in the marketplace and nationally as well. But Jim Benning kind of confirming a lot of what we already knew today.
Yeah, that there seem to be philosophical differences between Judd Brackett and between the management group, Jim Benning, John Weisbrod, etc. You know, the exact shape of these philosophical differences hasn't really been confirmed publicly, although I will say I put it out on Twitter earlier today that it seemed like, from what Benning said during his press conference, that Judd Brackett was asking for total autonomy over the draft. I don't believe that's the case, even though it would have been very easy to interpret what Benning said as being true in that regard. It seems to me that the issues were more departmental. So the decision over what scouts to bring in or what scouts to let go, and you know, just the greater discussions of the philosophy of the organization that Judd Brackett was included in under Trevor Linden's tenure and had, you know, it seems anyway, and we can read between the lines from things devolving to the point now where he's going to be leaving the organization, that clearly he didn't feel like he was as much a part of the conversation as he had been previously.
All right, well, let's play that clip that you mentioned there. Again, this is I think this is the one you're talking about, right? Where we're talking about the chain of command.
Yes.
Okay, so let's play that. This is Jim Benning meeting with media today, discussing just the processes of the department and realistically the chain of command of how the work is done.
I believe in collaboration, you know, the chain of command where the director of amateur scouting either, you know, reports to the director of player personnel, assistant GM or GM. I've been in the business for 28 years. I don't know too many places where the team's going to give a head scout total autonomy to, you know, make all the picks without collaborating with people higher up in the chain of command.
So I do think it's
Now that 50, I hear that 50-ish. Clip, now that I hear that clip back again, it does sound like he's saying that Brackett wanted to make all the picks by himself without collaboration. That is not the case though. So whether, you know, Jim Benning misspoke or however you want to interpret it, I don't believe that was the issue at the heart of this disagreement. But that said, it clearly was, I don't know if you want to term it as a power struggle, maybe, but clearly Judd Brackett felt that he should be, you know, given more say within the organization in whatever facet it might be than what Jim Benning was willing to give him.
I think it's similar to what this whole issue has been to some degree, at least how the conversation has been warped to some degree, where people want to give credit to some to one person and not the other, and it has to be black and white. It's a mixture of it all when it comes to that regard. And I think it's a mixture here. I think it's A, how the department runs, B, the philosophical way that they want to approach the overall business, and C, I think part of it does lie in who runs the draft. And look, there's no right or wrong necessarily with how you run the draft. Like, I understand Jim's point of view of, if this is the point of view of, I am the decision maker, I should be making those picks. That's fine for a person in charge to want to believe that and want to exercise that. And if that's the difference of disagreement between the two, yeah, that's going to be a mountain that you're not going to be able to overcome. So if that's how it looks, the thing I want to be clear though, because I think this has been talked about a lot, it's the disagreement on players on how the list is structured. That does not appear to be an issue to me.
No, I agree. You know, this is not about, you know, Judd Brackett wanting to make the picks himself without Jim Benning's blessing or clearance. Again, it's philosophical. So it's more, again, the kinds of things about, you know, what scouts to hire and, you know, what scouts to not have part of your group anymore. And, you know, the way you want to approach your philosophy in terms of how you want to draft players. And the difficult part about this is that Jim Benning comes from a scouting background and he has been a successful scout. So I'm sure as much as he's the general manager of the Canucks, he has his own ideas in very specific terms of how he wants the scouting department to operate and to be run. And so if he wants to be involved in that, then it makes sense that Judd Brackett might feel like he doesn't have the autonomy that he would like, because the general manager comes from a scouting background, because he wants to be involved in that. So, you know, obviously this is not a good day for the Canucks organization. I don't think there's any way that you can spin this story to make it into a positive. It's not. A good scout is leaving the Canucks organization when he didn't necessarily have to, but you know, it's clear that Judd Brackett has higher aspirations for his career. You tend to think that he'll have an opportunity to work with an NHL club again and probably very soon. And the Canucks will be able to implement their philosophy going forward. The question is, you know, do you believe or agree with the philosophy that Jim Benning wants to implement? And I think that's going to be the crux of what we hear from people today, both on the phone lines, on the text line 650-650, or reaching out to us on Twitter. This has more to do with a lack of belief in Jim Benning's leadership than anything else in my mind.
650-650, an unsigned text here. Sure, a lot of philosophical differences between Benning and Weisbrod and other people. Sounds like the philosophy is what I say goes and don't really care what you think. Any business course or advisor will tell you this is about the worst way you can run an organization. It's not the military, Jim. That's an unsigned text for 650-650 text message inbox. Share your thoughts as well and also give us a call, 604-280-0650. I'm not so sure it's so much as I don't really care what you think, but you're allowed to structure the organization in a way in which you want. And to be clear, like I prefer to the Canucks have retained Judd Brackett. And I do agree with some sense of you let a department run how a department head feels it should run and you work together in that way. But you set the guidelines of how that department should run to some degree for someone else to run it for you. Yeah. And if there's structural differences within then, okay, then it kind of becomes an issue. I understand. I understand where both sides are coming from in this issue. And it should be also clear, like, Judd Brackett's risen to rock star status basically in this city. That does not necessarily mean the next guy is going to be poor. And this does not necessarily mean that the drafting is going to crater. Does it increase the likelihood? Yes. Does it make it a certainty? No. And so the next person that comes in can also have success under this regime, right? So the bottom has not fallen out, but maybe the screw has been loosened.
Well, these things are so hard to analyze too, because none
yeah,
of
we don't we won't have answers for 5 years. And also, like, it takes a while for prospects to develop.
Yeah, and none of us are in the room either. So, like, for example, we have that unsigned texter that says, it seems like Jim is running it like what I say goes, and I don't really care what you think. But, you know, we're really speculating on that because none of us are in the room. None of us have been privy to any of these conversations, and we just sort of have to try and put the pieces together about what might be happening within the organization based on the reporting that we get in the market. And we have some great people that do some great reporting here in Vancouver. But, you know, to say, and it really seems like when you see the dialogue that's going on with the fan base, that this is a very much a two-sided situation where people either believe that Jim Benning deserves credit for the good drafting the Canucks have been a part of, or that he doesn't and that Judd Brackett deserves all the credit. And the answer, as always, is a lot more shades of gray than it is black and white. Has Judd Brackett been a big part of the Canucks drafting? Sure he has. Has Jim Benning been a part of the Canucks drafting? Absolutely he has. He's the general manager. He makes the final say on who they take in any given draft and with any given pick. So just because Judd Brackett had a positive impact, yes, it's not good that he's leaving. And I'm not trying to spin it or say that things will be fine and, you know, you don't need to worry. There is cause for concern when a scout that by all accounts has done a very good job is leaving your organization because of philosophical differences. But it comes back to what you were saying, Vic. It doesn't mean that the Canucks are all of a sudden going to start drafting only duds, or that they won't be able to make the kind of selections like they made with Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson over the past couple of years if they get into those spots in the draft, or, you know, Nils Höglander, or go down the list, whoever you want to include as, you know, an example of the Canucks doing a good job drafting over the last few years. You know, Judd Brackett, good scout, not good that he's gone. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Canucks drafting is going to go in the tank. And you're right. We won't really know the full context of this whole situation for a number of years until we see how Jim Benning and his scouting group, as it goes forward, are able to operate in the next few drafts.
650, a Twitter account that I'm sure many people are familiar with, chiming in into our text inbox. This Brackett news is tough, especially since my Twitter account is called Judd Brackett is underrated. I wish nothing best for Judd going forward. So that's Judd Brackett is underrated.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to be underrated next. Maybe Ryan Beach is underrated?
Yeah, you know, name dropped a couple of times from Jim Benning throughout the conference call. Other people not sharing as much optimism, understandably so. You can chime in 604-280-0650 is our Sportsnet 650 phone line. Jason, chiming in a bit. Worried about this, Jason?
Yeah, you know what? The first thing I want to say is, Brendan, I have to disagree with you completely there, how you said that you're more likely not to let draft duds. The thing is that obviously we know that different general managers, different scouts, they all value different things, right? So, for example, we know that Jim Benning is more of a guy who wants, what's that term, hard skill? That's what he's known for. I would be absolutely terrified that he might pass on a guy who might not be as tough, but has more offensive upside or more upside in general, because he doesn't think that way. He believes that you have to be a tougher team. The other thing I'd also like to say is that if you think that Judd's leaving just because the scouting, whatever, you know, that's, to me, isn't the worrisome part. Now that Trevor Linden's gone, now that Judd Brackett's gone, who's the opposite guy to say, hey, maybe this isn't the guy you should be picking. Maybe this isn't the right guy. I don't know if there's anybody in the organization now who is kind of the opposite of what Jim Benning brings, and I think that's the more worrisome part at this point.
Well, yeah, just to respond, I don't think I said that, you know, it's going to be an immediate impact where, you know, don't worry, they're not going to draft duds. I said it's not necessarily going to be that way. It's still possible, and you're right, you know, in terms of philosophy, Jim Benning's philosophy might not be the same as Judd Brackett's or as, you know, some people in the fan base would like. But, you know, at the same time, we don't know that for a fact. Like, that's an assumption you're making, that Jim Benning would defer to toughness over skill. And even though he's had John Brackett on his staff over the last few years, he has made good selections of skilled players of his own accord. Even though Judd Brackett was the head scout, Jim Benning was the one making the final call on those decisions, or at least we have to assume that because he's the general manager. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is it remains to be seen how the Canucks scouting department will come out of this. And it's not an absolute certainty that they will all of a sudden, you know, really, really hit the floor and not do a good job of picking. It is a possibility, but, you know, again, we're not in the room. So, you know, Judd Brackett certainly was a big voice within the Canucks scouting staff, but you're right. Who else could be in that department? And generally speaking, knowing scouts, they will go to bat for players that they believe in. So just because Judd Brackett is gone, it doesn't mean that all of the remaining scouting staff are just going to toe the line of Jim Benning and go along with whatever he says. You still have to defer to your scouts, and you have to defer to your scouts a lot because they're the guys that are out in the ranks throughout the season watching players play numerous times. And, you know, most scouts that I've met and had a chance to speak with are guys that will really battle for players they believe in. We know for a fact that Thomas Gradin has done that within the Canucks organization in the past. So, you know, just because Judd Brackett's gone, it doesn't mean that he was, you know, it seems to me that some people want to craft the narrative like Judd Brackett was the lone voice of reason within a Canuck, you know, a crazy Canuck management group, and now he's gone, so things are absolutely, you know, going to go in the tank. That's too simple to say that, and I don't believe it's accurate either.
And, you know, Judd Brackett, as we just mentioned, like, rose to quite some fame here with success over the past couple of years. It's not to say that there aren't guys who also have had rises recently in the Canucks staff, just maybe not as prominent, like Chris Gear among them, just recently promoted to assistant general manager. Jonathan Wall's done a lot of great work behind the scenes as well. So there are people that, if you want dissenting opinions and dissenting voices, there are people that are doing it within the organization that maybe haven't gotten the recognition that, say, Judd Brackett has recently from the Canucks fan base. So I'm less concerned about that. It's more just about how do you want your overall organization to run. And I do believe to some degree, like, again, as I mentioned, the points that Jim brought up about how we came here, of a department wanting autonomy or a department head wanting autonomy, I believe in that in some degree, but you still have to report to someone. You don't just get to be an equal branch in an organizational hierarchy to some degree. So you want to empower your employees, yes, but you still run the team. It's a logical conclusion we can't overcome in this scenario. You can't just invent ways to do it, no matter how skilled or talented someone is. And I think he's done a great job. I just understand why we're getting to this point to some degree.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, today is not a good day. And you can't really characterize it as such. You know, the philosophical differences are the key here. And, you know, here's a good text from Joey in Richmond. Says, if Benning wanted hard skill so badly to the point of detriment, would he not have taken Tkachuk over Yolevi then? That argument is bogus. And, you know, that's a good point to bring up, that, you know, I don't know if we can say that Jim Benning's track record shows that he values toughness and grit over, you know, skill. Otherwise, would they have taken Elias Pettersson instead of Cody Glass? No, they wouldn't have. You know, would they have taken Nils Höglander, an undersized Swedish forward, as opposed to, you know, a bigger, tougher, more physical Canadian? No, they wouldn't have. And as much as Judd Brackett will have had a voice and a loud voice within the scouting department during those years, it still comes down to the fact that at the end of the day, Jim Benning made those decisions. So I don't think there's a reason to believe with certainty that the Canucks drafting will be impacted. But again, you have a good scout leave your department, there's always a chance it's going to have a big impact. And that's not something we're going to be able to analyze for a number of years.
And just on the idea of moving forward as well, because obviously there's a lot of concern. People want the run success of good drafting to continue. You know, Jim Benning did speak on the idea of the scouts, or the thing that was upsetting to him over this process and moving forward, what he does like about his scouting department. This is a clip talking about Jim not liking that his scouts have been bad-mouthed.
The stuff that's come out here the last 2-3 months that, you know, and I only hear half of it. I don't hear all of it. You know, the stuff that was most upsetting for me is when we have people, you know, talking bad about scouts that we have on our staff that that have done a wonderful job for the organization through the years and deserve our respect.
Okay, he did expand later on that, just the confident going into the draft. I think we also have that clip, just moving forward, what he expects the rest of the way, and that he is confident in his staff getting ready for the draft.
I'm really confident that we're going to go into the draft. We know the players better than, you know, we've known them even other years because we've had so much time now and with this video system that, you know, Aiden and Ryan have instilled in our group that it just gives us more coverage. So I'm confident going into the draft.
So that would be Aiden Fox and Ryan Beach. Again, some other people who have risen through the ranks over at the Canucks organization. You still can get your thoughts in, 650, 650. We did hear from Joey in Richmond, who is one of our competitors for Game It Takes Batch, which thank you for all the votes and the reaction and the discourse yesterday on Twitter. We did have a winner. We'll announce that shortly and we'll actually speak to them. But we'll get some more of your thoughts. Ted, is Judd a good scout because he drafted Pettersson and Hughes? Come on, show me the fourth and fifth rounders that have turned out. That's Ted in our 650, 650 text message inbox. Also,
that's,
Scott.
That's not a fair comment either because
right.
It's, you know, fifth rounders.
Don't take time.
Don't turn into NHLers overnight. Like, okay, fine. You're taking a guy in the top 10 picks of the draft. It's fair to expect that he would be an impact player relatively soon. And that's what we've seen from Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson. You know, we don't know how their later round picks are going to turn out, and we won't know for a number of years. So, you know, again, this is why these issues are so hard to analyze in the moment, because, you know, you may believe that Judd Brackett has done a really good job, or you may believe that Jim Benning is going to, you know, do a good job of drafting without Judd Brackett, but the real answers to those questions and those beliefs won't be apparent probably for 5 to 10 years. So it's all about opinion. And again, I understand people that believe Judd is a good scout. I believe that as well. It's not a good thing that he's leaving the organization. But I go back to the point that I've made about 3 or 4 times now. It doesn't necessarily mean that every pick that Judd Brackett made was a home run. And you can't necessarily cite the Canucks' lack of ability to turn their fourth and fifth rounders into NHL players within a couple of seasons as a sign of failure. And then we can't really immediately say for a certainty that the Canucks' drafting is going to take a big dip because Judd Brackett isn't here anymore.
It's Social Distance Central, Bick Nizar, Brendan Batchelor. A lot more of your reaction to come as well, 604-280-0650. We will take a break, and we're also going to just wrap up Game of Takes as well later on today. We'll speak to one of our competitors who walked away with the big victory. That's all coming up here, and your text on Sportsnet 650, home of the Canucks. Bobby McFerrin bringing us back to Social Distance Central here on Sportsnet 650. I'm not sure if people will agree with the sentiment. Dom suggesting people should, don't worry, be happy. Well, in theory, yes, but as you know, Bat, you and I both kind of said, like, this is not a good thing that has happened today.
No, it's not.
You know, A conclusion like Judd Brackett leaving the organization was probably likely at some point during his tenure, but it was more, you know, people expected him to get poached because of his relative success to go to an elevated role for another organization. For the club to willingly release him or have his contract expire is a much more surprising outcome. And that's why you see some of the volatility and some of the reactions we're getting in our text message inbox, which we'll try to read as many as we can here. We're obviously getting a lot, and also people calling in at 604-280-0650.
Yeah, and, you know, again, this is a philosophical difference. This is, you know, it really is Judd Brackett standing up for what he believes in. If, you know, if we could read between the lines that, you know, what Jim Benning said this morning on the call with the media was that, you know, Judd Brackett turned down their contract offer because there were certain things that he wanted and he didn't want to continue to do his job if he didn't have those things. And the Canucks were also not willing to give him those things. Now, you know, the specifics of what those things might be still appears to be a little bit vague. Although, again, as I've said before, I believe that they have more to do with the structure of the scouting department than with who was controlling the draft. And a good friend of the station, Patrick Johnston of the Province, who's going to be on with Reach Deep this afternoon, if I'm not mistaken, just tweeted out a few minutes ago, quote, "The real issue between Brackett and Benning since last summer was so obviously about overall philosophy and about ability to have a say in hiring scouts. The changes last summer were an example of that." So, you know, this isn't necessarily that Jim Benning wanted full control of the draft and that he, you know, or that Judd Brackett wanted full control of the draft and he wanted to be the one making the final decisions on the picks. This is more philosophical. This is more about the kind of people they brought in, the kind of things they wanted their scouts to look for, and things like that.
Yeah, and he did kind of address something that goes back to the 2019 draft. It was a bit clunky, so I'm not sure if we have that clip. But essentially saying that after day one in 2019 in the draft here in Vancouver, you know, the club has a meeting like they always do. They talked about who we want on day two. They all really like Nils Höglander, and they came to a collective decision. If he's there, that's hoping what we plan to do and draft him. So there was some talk about, you know, what day two of the draft looked like. And in that discussion, that would be the draft list that we've talked about, Batch. And this never felt like it was about the draft list. It was more philosophical. It's exactly what you've been talking about, and as far as what Patrick Johnston has been talking about now on Twitter, that this is about how the department runs, and also some degree of the execution of the draft on the floor itself, not coming to consensus about the list, just the execution of the draft on the floor itself.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, again, I think you have to credit Judd for standing up for what he believed in and sticking to his guns. At the same time, you know, we talked about this earlier, Jim Benning is a scout by trade. He's a general manager now, but he's, you know, come through as a scout. He's been a scout for many years, and he probably, not even probably, I'm sure definitely has ideas about how he wants the scouting department to operate. So,
and people in positions of power are allowed to run their departments the way they want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people won't agree with it. And I've seen comments on Twitter today and texts about, you know, micromanagement and how you should hire good people and let them do their jobs. And I'm sure many people believe that's the right way to run a business, but not everyone does, right? And especially for someone who has a track record in a particular department. Like, I don't think Jim Benning is incapable of deferring to good people who do good work, because a name you brought up earlier in the show, Chris Gear, has been promoted to assistant general manager. And it seems like, from all the conversations we hear out of the organization, essentially runs their contract negotiations now. So, you know, if you believe that to be the case, then I would say that Jim Benning might have identified that that was an area where Chris Gear could do a really strong job, and he's letting him do that job.
And to be honest, like, what are the two most high-profile, maybe acrimonious contract decisions we've seen in recent memory as far as re-signings? Brock Besser and Alex Edler. They went on for quite some time. We had a lot of conversations of, what's happening with this? And, are you creating for fractured relationships? Well, none of that came to fruition. You would say the Canucks probably came out on the better end of what they intended to do. You know, I was of the mind they probably should have extended Brock Besser for longer. But when you look at the framework of creating that 3-year bridge deal, they did pretty well.
No, I agree. And the Alex Edler situation as well. They essentially waited until there was a situation where it became clear that Alex Edler was not going to leave. He wanted to remain a Canuck. He stuck by his word that he had said that through the whole time. It wasn't just a negotiating ploy. And as a result, they got him back on a relatively team-friendly deal as well. So, you know, that's an area that the Canucks have done well in, and it's an area where you can point specifically to someone like Chris Gear, who has risen through the ranks of the organization and has been given power within that, you know, area of the business. But I think the big fundamental difference here, and again, I come back to it, is Jim Benning's a scout. Mm-hmm. So he is going to believe that he knows what is best for the scouting department. And because of that, he's going to want to have a lot of involvement in the scouting department. And clearly Judd Brackett didn't want things to be run that way. And so we reached this point today where they're parting ways.
We'll get to a couple of texts here as well. Keep them coming. 650, 650. Tim from Langley, how would the Canucks make the playoffs again? And we're talking about a scouting department contract. And look, that's a fair point. I think a lot of people want the Canucks to, or at least the conversation, to be more focused on the team itself. And when news happens, we broach the topic. But I think there's a sense of frustration of this team needs to start having success, and then we can start worrying about all the other stuff.
Well, and the other thing too is, yes, they're going to get back to playing games, but they're going to get back to playing games in 2 months. So, we are going to talk a lot about the Canucks and the Minnesota Wild on this show over the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it. But this is breaking news.
There's a bigger issue, Batch, of like people are tired of these conversations when there's been such little success on the ice.
No, and that's something we've seen over the last few years, that these are the conversations that take precedent when things aren't successful on the ice. If we don't have playoff series or playoff runs to analyze, then you analyze, you know, every area of the organization to try and, you know, figure out why they may not have been performing to the level that you would like, what they could do to improve. And so that's where someone like Judd Brackett becomes a rock star locally, is because of his involvement in the picking of Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes and others who many people believe are going to carry this team back into another promising era and open another window. But, you know, right now, this is the biggest news of the day. We're going to talk about it. And it is going to affect the Canucks going forward. The question is, to what degree does it affect them? And does it affect them negatively? You know, there is also the possibility that this affects them positively. And again, I'm not trying to spin this. This is a bad thing for the Canucks. A good person has left the organization. But anytime someone leaves a role, it provides opportunity for someone else. And just because Judd Brackett was a good scouting director doesn't mean the next scouting director will be bad.
Absolutely. Some more texts here. Andrew in Michigan, it sucks the way Brackett is leaving the organization, but scouting, not a one-man show. I'm not saying that he's not a good scout, but you can't discount what scouts under him have done, and Benning ultimately does have final say on who we pick in the draft. It's collective success, but unfortunately, some philosophical differences have resulted in this messy breakup. Wishing Brackett all the best in his future endeavors. That's from Andrew in Michigan. And yeah, how this department gets molded moving forward, as we were just alluding to, is going to be a huge magnifying glass on it now, obviously. And, you know, Jim Benning had mentioned Todd Harvey's name. I know Sad had mentioned that, you know, nothing disparaging in regards to Todd Harvey, but kind of new on the scene. I would say, you know, experience being a prerequisite for jobs at times is more so for those that might be unqualified. So, you know, if someone's got ability, I'm less concerned about how much time they've spent on the job. So that's something to, you know, keep an eye on moving forward as this department gets shaped moving forward.
Yeah. And, you know, another name that we heard drop today is our good friend Ryan Beach. And You know, Jim Benning had some very nice things to say about him. So does something like this mean he is able to have an expanded role within the scouting department? I'm sure many people listening would like to see that because, you know, we've heard Beecher on these airwaves before. You know, he's very well regarded in the Canucks fan base and is a smart hockey mind in his own right. So, again, I cannot underscore this enough. Judd Brackett leaving is bad. And the way that this has devolved to this point is bad. You know, I think Elliot Friedman said this on the station a few years ago, or a few weeks ago, rather. One of the biggest concerns through all this should be that no one is going to come out of this looking good. The Canucks don't come out of this looking good for obvious reasons. There's a good member of their staff that's leaving. But the fact that this was a contract negotiation that was contested in the media, that it has become so public, that the fan base has become so involved in the narrative, doesn't necessarily reflect perfectly on Judd Brackett either. So
yeah, and I'm sure
it's not a great situation for anyone that we're dedicating the entirety of our show to talking about this today. You know, if things are the way they should be, we should not be talking this much about the director of scouting for a team.
I'm sure if we asked Judd Brackett today, he would never have assumed this story would get to this stage, right? And it makes it tough. You know, when you just think how these circles work of GMs trusting their scouts, if you're looking for another role, I imagine another GM is thinking, how did this scout raise to such rock star status in here? And is that a situation that I want to bring to my organization? And that's tough if you're in Judd Brackett's shoes now of I need new employment. And I don't think he'll have a problem finding new work. He's obviously very skilled, but I do think that raises the questions, whether fair or not, in the eyes of other GMs now looking to bring him in.
Yeah, and, you know, if I was a GM looking at bringing in Judd Brackett, one of the biggest questions I would have for him in an interview is, if I'm going to hire you and I bring you in and then a few years down the road, we have a disagreement, how do I know that this isn't going to be litigated in the media like it was in Vancouver? Because, it's clear that the information that's being reported about this whole situation has to be coming from somewhere. And mm-hmm. So that's something that would be a very, again, Judd Brackett, talented scout. If I was a general manager in the NHL, I would be seriously looking at finding a way to bring him into the fold for my organization. But that is an obvious question that you would have to ask and be satisfied that the answer is something that you could move forward with.
650, we'll get to another text here. Unsigned text. I'm also not happy that he, Judd Brackett, is leaving, just like I wasn't when Linden left, but he's been with the Canucks for 13 years. I would say the drafting has been better recently, so I'd say that reflects more on Benning playing the bigger role in the improvement than we've seen in the past few years. We're also talking about, you know, where he was in the ranking of the organization, right?
He was a part-time scout when he started with the organization, if I'm not mistaken, and he rose through the ranks to be the director of scouting. And you know, Jim Benning today really pointed out that he thinks Judd has grown a lot as a scout over the last 5 years specifically, and many people would say that those last 5 years are the years where the Canucks drafting has improved. So I don't know if it necessarily says, well, Brackett was here before and they didn't draft well, but they've drafted well the past few years and Benning's been here. Brackett wasn't the director of scouting for his entire time with the organization, and he certainly wouldn't have had as loud a voice 13 years ago as he did more recently.
Yeah. Another unsigned text, actually intentionally unsigned text, big respect on that one. Don't worry, when the Canucks win the cup this year, we won't have to worry about scouts or prospects anymore.
Hey, dare to dream, I guess, right?
Yeah, winning solves a lot of issues. Jim Benning, obviously we've spent a whole hour here talking about him. He was actually the focus of our introductory Game of Takes batch. You and I were keeping a close eye on how this erupted yesterday on Twitter at Sportsnet 650. It was quite enjoyable to watch our two competitors go at it. Joey from Richmond at 604 Joey on Twitter, and also Chris Keen at Chris K Films on Twitter. We aired their 90-second calls yesterday on the show. We put them out on Twitter. People listened to the takes. They commented. They voted. And we did ultimately come up with a winner batch.
Yes. And man, did they comment. And did they comment in numbers and in droves. And, you know, as is the case with Canucks Twitter, things got a little bit heated in the arguments and the back and forth, especially with such a divisive topic as Jim Benning. But we have crowned a winner, Bick. We can declare that Chris Keene is the winner of Game of Takes, and he will sit atop the throne for the first week.
By a pretty squeaky margin. I think, you know, when you put something like this on Twitter, you think the anti-Benning crowd would rise to prominence. But, you know...
And ultimately they did, because Chris
yes,
won.
Yes, they did. And, you know, not to say... Perhaps anti-Benning is incorrect. I think Chris was very factual in his stance.
Just, Benning skeptics.
Yeah, there we go. It's not that they believe he can't ever improve. But Chris joins us now, actually. And Chris, you know, first of all, I think we applaud you on how well your piece aired and how great that was. And congratulations on the first victory of Game of Takes.
Thank you. The champ is here, guys. How's it going?
My reign is just
begun. Yeah, no. We're doing good. So you dispatch of Joey Curie at 604. Joey, first, your thoughts on what he had to say.
Yeah, you know, I think he did a really good job, you know, stepping up and putting his comments out there for everybody. I know it's not easy to, you know, stick your neck out there and go on a radio show like this. So, you know, props to Joey over there. And, you know, I think he did a really good job. Before I go any further, though, I do want to just start off by, you know, calling further attention to the situation on Twitter. You know, we're all Canucks fans. We all want the Stanley Cup to come to Vancouver. So whether you're a pro-Benning guy or an anti-Benning guy, you know, I think we all really need to just sort of step back and start treating each other with a little bit more respect. You know, you can disagree with someone else's take, but I think we all need to sort of stand back, stop with the personal attacks, and let's try to get on the same team here, because at the end of the day, we all want the same thing.
Yeah, very well said, Chris. And, you know, I thought you did a really good job of you know, laying out your argument without getting into any of that as well. I would assume then that the Judd Brackett news today has only reinforced a lot of the things that you said in your argument against Jim Benning and his tenure with the Canucks.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to go too deep into this yet because the news is still very fresh and we've only heard Jim Benning's side of things. Obviously, there's going to be a pro Canucks slant there. I would like to wait to hear from Judd Brackett himself and a little bit more about, you know, how this went down and what exactly he was looking for. We may not hear from him. I don't know if he wants to comment on this or not. But at the end of the day, this still goes to my point that this is one fewer competent voice in the room. And this has followed a team trend since the start of the Benning era, where we lost out on Lawrence Gilman. We let go of Lauren Henning and Eric Crawford. And Trevor Linden has left. And a lot of these guys really have not been replaced. So I think a lot more responsibility is now falling on Jim and John Weisbrod. And, you know, I don't think they've done too good of a job to date. And I don't really have too much confidence in them going forward.
So you, when you outlined your take for that 90 seconds there, you did a lot of reviewing of the mistakes that have made, you know, in years past, and all very valid. What are your biggest concerns then moving forward when we start looking at what's next?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, you look at the roster now, we have some key cornerstones. We have Elias Pettersson, we have Quinn Hughes. These are guys I'm very, very high on. I think these are guys you can definitely build a championship team around. But this team really did not commit to a true rebuild over the majority of Benning's term here. So we did not stockpile any draft picks. We did not stockpile too many young prospects. And I think that's really going to hurt this team's depth going forward. There's a lot of building through free agency. And that's led to, you know, as I mentioned in my take, the most expensive bottom 6-4 group in the NHL. And you look at the team this year, yes, they've improved a little bit on the previous years,
But this is the third highest payroll in the league based on cap hit, as per capfriendly.com. And despite that, our two top players are on entry-level deals. We have several key free agents coming up this year. Markstrom, Tanev, Stetcher, Tyler Toffoli, if you want to bring him back. You know, maybe we can squeeze some of these guys in, but and then maybe we can get Pettersson and Hughes back on, you know, decent deals next year. But what does that leave in terms of cap space to improve on the team? We're still only a bubble team right now, and I don't see enough room where we can buy someone key to improve where we lack. And I think the defense is one area where we definitely need to look for major improvements.
All right, so Chris, this is how it works, man. You get to sit on the throne. You're the winner of Game It Takes. You'll be back with us next week. We will find a competitor for you. And we're going to give you a new topic, but here's the thing. You get to choose a topic as being on the throne. We're going to give you three options, and you choose one. It's, do you want to talk about Jake Virtanen next week? Do you want to talk about Chris Tanev? Or do you want to talk about the future of the goaltending?
Let's go with the future of the goaltending.
All right. We'll pose that to you and the rest of Canucks Nation and Sportsnet 650 listeners on Monday. So looking forward to hear what you say, both in our text message inbox and also on Twitter at Chris K Films. Thanks a lot for joining us, man. And congratulations again.
Thank you. Enjoy your weekend.
A lion doesn't concern himself with the opinions of a sheep.
Yes. And a big shout out to Joey Curie as well, at 604 Joey. The thing is, Joey, when you lose in the Game It Takes, you what happens in Game of Thrones? You get the big fireball. So Dom?
No.
If we have the do we not have the Dracarys? All right. Guess not.
We're still working out some kinks on Game It Takes. We'll have it all ironed out in time for next week's competition.
So a minor reprieve for Joey there. It is social distance central batch. The conversations are going to continue all throughout the day in regards to Jim Benning and Judd Brackett. But thanks a lot for today, pal.
Yeah, this has been fun. I'm looking forward to getting into the state of the Canucks goaltending next week with all of you listening and texting and tweeting. And make sure to tune in this afternoon. Jim Benning on the program, Satyar Shah and Andrew Walker.
Yeah, that'll be coming up at 5 o'clock later tonight. Reach deep on the way. Dan Riccio, Randy Janda coming up here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Dracarys.